the 30th of November. Up and with Sir William Batten to Whitehall, and there we did attend the Duke of York, and had much business with him. And pretty to see, it being St. Andrew's Day, how some few did wear St. Andrew's cross. But most did make a mockery at it, and the House of Parliament, contrary to practice, did sit also, people having no mind to observe that Scotch Saints' Day, till they hear better news from Scotland. Thence to Westminster Hall and the Abbey, thinking, as I had appointed, to have met Mistress Burrows there. But not meeting her, I home, and just overtook my cousin Roger Pepys, Mistress Turner, Dyke, and Joyce Norton, coming by invitation to dine with me. These ladies I have not seen since before the plague. Mistress Turner is come to town to look after her things in her house, but all is lost. She is quite weary of the country, but cannot get her husband to let her live here any more, which troubles her mightily. She was mighty angry with me, that in all this time I never writ to her, which I do think and take to myself as a fault, and which I have promised to mend. Here I had a noble and costly dinner for them, dressed by a man-cook, as that the other day was, and pretty merry we were, as I could be with this company and so great charge. We sat long, and after much talk of the plenty of her country in fish, but in nothing also that is pleasing, we broke up with great kindness. And when it begun to be dark, we parted, they in one coach home, and I in another to Westminster Hall, where by appointment Mistress Burrows and I were to meet, but did not, after I had spent the whole evening there. Only I did go drink at the Swan, and there did meet with Sarah, who is now newly married, and there I did lay the beginnings of a future amour con ella, which in time may come, para lesse me hacer alguna cosa con él. Thence, it being late, away, called at Mistress Burrow's mother's door, and she came out to me, and I did hacer whatever I would con su mano, tocando mi cosa, and then parted and home. And after some playing at cards with my wife, we to supper and to bed. December 1666. The first. Up and to the office where we sat all the morning, at home to dinner, and then abroad walking to the Old Swan, and in my way did see a cellar in Tower Street, in a very fresh fire, the late great winds having blown it up. It seemed to be only of logwood, that hath kept the fire all this while in it. Going further, I met my late Lord Mayor, Bloodworth, under whom the city was burnt, and went with him by water to Whitehall. But, Lord, the silly talk that this fellow had, only how ready he would be to part with all his estate in these difficult times to advance the king's service, and complaining that now, as everybody did lately in the fire, everybody endeavours to save himself and let the whole perish. But a very weak man he seems to be. I left him at Whitehall, he giving sixpence towards the boat, and I to Westminster Hall, where I was again defeated in my expectation of Burrows. However, I was not much sorry for it, but by coach home in the evening, calling at Faithorne's and buying three of my Lady Castlemaine's heads, printed this day, which indeed is, as to the head, I think, a very fine picture and like her. I did this afternoon get Mistress Mitchell to let me only have a sight of a pamphlet lately printed, but suppressed and much called after, called The Catholic's Apology, lamenting the severity of the Parliament against them, and comparing it with the lenity of other princes to Protestants, giving old and late instances of their loyalty to their princes, whatever is objected against them, and excusing their disquiets in Queen Elizabeth's time, for that it was impossible for them to think her a lawful queen, if Queen Mary, who had been owned as such, were so, one being the daughter of the true, and the other of a false wife, and that of the gunpowder treason, by saying that it was only the practice of some of us, if not the king, to trepan some of their religion into it, it never being defended by the generality of their church, nor indeed known by them, and ends with a large catalogue in red letters, of the Catholics which have lost their lives in the quarrel of the late king and this. The thing is very well writ indeed. So, home to my letters, and then to my supper and to bed. The 2nd of December, Lord's Day. Up and to church, and after church home to dinner, where I met Betty Mitchell and her husband. Very merry at dinner, and after dinner, having borrowed Sir William Penn's coach, we to Westminster, they two and my wife and I, to Mr. Martin's, where find the company almost all come to the christening of Mistress Martin's child, a girl. A great deal of good plain company. After sitting long till the church was done, the parson comes, and then we to christen the child. I was godfather, and Mistress Holder, her husband, a good man I know well, and a pretty lady that waits, it seems, on my Lady Bath at Whitehall, her name Mistress Noble, were godmothers. After the christening comes in the wine and the sweetmeats, and then to prate and tattle, and then very good company they were, and I among them. Here was old Mistress Mitchell, and Howlett, and several married women of the hall, whom I knew maids. Here was also Mistress Burrows, and Mistress Bowles, the young widow, whom I led home, and having stayed till the moon was up, I took my pretty gossip to Whitehall with us, and I saw her in her lodging. And then my own company again took coach, and no sooner in the coach but something broke, that we were fain there to stay till a smith could be fetched, which was above an hour, and then it costing me 6 shillings to mend. Away round by the wall, and Cow Lane, for fear it should break again, and in pain about the coach all the way. But to ease myself therein, Betty Mitchell did sit at the same end with me, and there, con su mano, under my manteau, I did pull off her cairoteca, and did tocar mi cosa con su mano through my chemise, but yet so as to hacer la grande cosa, and she did let me hacerla sin mucho trabajo. Being very much pleased with this, we at last came home, and so to supper, and then sent them by boat home, and we to bed. When I came home, I went to Sir William Batten's, and there I hear more ill news still, that all our New England fleet, which went out lately, are put back a third time by foul weather, and dispersed, some to one port, and some to another, and their convoys also to Plymouth, and whether any of them be lost or no, we do not know. This added to all the rest, doth lay us flat in our hopes and courages, everybody prophesying destruction to the nation. The 3rd of December. Up, and among a great many people that came to speak with me, one was my Lord Peterborough's gentleman, who comes to me to dun me to get some money advanced for his lord, and I, demanding what news, he tells me that at court they begin to fear the business of Scotland more and more, and that the Duke of York intends to go to the north to raise an army, and that the king would have some of the nobility and others to go and assist. But they were so served the last year, among others his lord, in raising forces at their own charge for fear of the French invading us, that they will not be got out now without money advanced to them by the king. And this is like to be the king's case for certain, if ever he comes to have need of any army. He and others gone, I by water to Westminster and there to the Exchequer, and put my tallies in a way of doing for the last quarter. But my not following it the last week hath occasioned the clerk some trouble, which I am sorry for, and they are mad at. Thence at noon home, and there find Kate Joyce, who dined with me. Her husband and she are weary of their new life of being an innkeeper, and will leave it, and would fain get some office. But I know none the fool is fit for, but would be glad to help them if I could, though they have enough to live on, God be thanked, though their loss hath been to the value of £3,000. William Joyce now hath all the trade, she says, the trade being come to that end of the town. She dined with me, my wife being ill of her months in bed. I left her with my wife, and away myself to Westminster Hall by appointment, and there found out Burrows, and I took her by coach as far as my Lord Treasurer's, and called at the Cake House by Hales's, and there in the coach ate and drank, and then carried her home, with much ado making her to tocar mi cosa, she being indeed very averse a alcuna cosa of that kind. However, time can hacerla, the same as it hath etch or others. So having set her down in the palace, I to the swan, and there did, the first time, Bethar the little sister of Sarah, that is come into her place, and so away by coach home, where to my viol and supper, and then to bed, being weary of the following of my pleasure, and sorry for my omitting, though with a true salvo to my vows, the stating my last month's accounts in time, as I should, but resolved to settle and clear all my business before me this month, that I may begin afresh the next year, and enjoy some little pleasure freely at Christmas. So to bed, and with more cheerfulness than I have done a good while, to hear that for certain the Scot rebels are all routed, they having been so bold as to come within 3 mile of Edinburgh, and there given 2 or 3 repulses to the king's forces, but at last were mastered, 300 or 400 killed or taken, among which their leader, one Wallace, and 7 ministers, they having all taken the covenant a few days before, and sworn to live and die in it as they did. And so all is likely to be there quiet again. There is also the very good news come of 7 New England ships come home safe to Falmouth, with masts for the king, which is a blessing mighty unexpected, and without which, if for nothing else, we must have failed the next year. But God be praised for thus much good fortune, and send us the continuance of his favour in other things. So to bed. The 4th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat all the morning. At noon, dined at home. After dinner, presently to my office, and there late, and then home to even my journal and accounts, and then to supper, much eased in mind and last night's good news, which is more and more confirmed with particulars to very good purpose, and so to bed. The 5th of December. Up and by water to Whitehall, where we did much business before the Duke of York, which, being done, I away home by water again, and there to my office till noon busy. At noon home and good groom dined with us, who teaches my wife to sing. After dinner I did give him my song, Beauty Retire, which he hath often desired of me, and without flattery I think is a very good song. He gone, I to the office, and there late very busy doing much business, and then home to supper and talk, and then scold with my wife for not reckoning well the times that her music-masters have been with her, but setting down more than I am sure, and did convince her they had been with her, and in her ill humour of anger with her, to bed. The 6th of December. Up, but very good friends with her before I rose, and so to the office, where we sat all the forenoon, and then home to dinner, where Harmon dined with us, and great sport to hear him tell how Will Joyce grows rich by the custom of the city, coming to his end of the town, and how he rants over his brother and sister for their keeping an inn, and goes thither, and tears like a prince, calling him hosteler, and his sister hostess. Then, after dinner, my wife and brother, in another habit, go out to see a play. But I'm not to take notice that I know of my brother's going. So I to the office, where very busy till late at night, and then home. My wife not pleased with the play, but thinks that it is because she has grown more critical than she used to be. But my brother, she says, is mightily taken with it. So to supper and to bed. This day in the Gazette was the whole story of defeating the Scotch rebels, and of the creation of the Duke of Cambridge, Knight of the Garter. The 7th of December. Up and by water to the Exchequer, where I got my tallies finished for the last quarter for Tangier, and having paid all my fees, I to the Swan, whither I sent for some oysters, and thither comes Mr. Falconbridge and Spicer, and many more clerks, and there we ate and drank, and a great deal of their sorry discourse. And so parted, and I by coach home, meeting Balty in the street about Charing Cross, walking, which I was glad to see, and spoke to him about his mustering business, I being now to give an account how the several muster-masters have behaved themselves. And so home to dinner, where finding the cloth laid, and much crumpled but clean, I grew angry and flung the trenchers about the room, and in a mighty heat I was. So a clean cloth was laid, and my poor wife very patient, And so to dinner, and in comes Mistress Barbara Sheldon, now Mistress Wood, and dined with us. She mighty fine, and lives, I perceive, mighty happily, which I am glad for her sake, but hate her husband for a blockhead in his choice. So away after dinner, leaving my wife and her, and by water to the Strand, and so to the King's Playhouse, where two acts were almost done when I came in. And there I sat with my cloak about my face, and saw the remainder of the Maid's Tragedy, a good play, and well acted, especially by the younger Marshall, which has become a pretty good actor. And is the first play I have seen in either of the houses since before the Great Plague, they having acted now about 14 days publicly. But I was in mighty pain lest I should be seen by anybody to be at a play. As soon as done, I home and there to my office a while, and then home and spent the night, evening my Tangier accounts, much to my satisfaction, and then to supper, and mighty good friends with my poor wife, and so to bed. The 8th of December. Up and to the office where we sat all the morning, and at noon home to dinner, and there find Mr. Pierce and his wife, and Betty, a pretty girl, who in discourse at table told me of the great proviso passed the House of Parliament yesterday, which makes the King and Court mad, the King having given order to my Lord Chamberlain to send to the playhouses and bawdy houses to bid all the Parliament men that were there to go to the Parliament presently. This is true, it seems, but it was carried against the Court by 30 or 40 voices. It is a proviso to the poll bill that there shall be a committee of 9 persons that shall have the inspection, upon oath and power of giving oaths, of all the accounts of the money given and spent for this war. This hath a most sad face, and will breed very ill blood. He tells me brought in by Sir Robert Howard, who is one of the King's servants, at least hath a great office, and hath got, they say, £20,000 since the King came in. Mr. Pierce did also tell me as a great truth, as being told it by Mr. Cowley, who was by, and heard it, that Tom Killigrew should publicly tell the King that his matters were coming into a very ill state, but that yet there was a way to help all, which is, says he, there is a good, honest, able man that I could name, that if your Majesty would employ and command to see all things well executed, all things would soon be mended, and this is one Charles Stuart, who now spends his time in employing his lips and his prick about the Court, and hath no other employment. But if you would give him this employment, he were the fittest man in the world to perform it. This, he says, is most true. But the King doth not profit by any of this, but lays all aside, and remembers nothing but to his pleasures again, which is a sorrowful consideration. Very good company we were at dinner and merry, and after dinner, he being gone about business, my wife and I, and Mistress Pierce, and Betty, and Balty, who came to see us today, very sick, and went home not well, together out. And our coach broke the wheel off upon Ludgate Hill, so we were fain to part ourselves, and get room in other people's coaches. And Mistress Pierce and I in one, and I carried her home and set her down, and myself to the King's Playhouse, which troubles me since, and hath cost me a forfeit of 10 shillings, which I have paid. And there did see a good part of The English Monsieur, which is a mighty pretty play, very witty and pleasant, and the women do very well, but above all, Little Nelly. That I am mightily pleased with the play, and much with the house, more than ever I expected, the women doing better than ever I expected, and very fine women. Here I was in pain to be seen, and hid myself, but as God would have it, Sir John Chichley came and sat just by me. Thence to Mistress Pierce's, and there took up my wife, and away home and to the office, and Sir William Batten's, of whom I hear that this proviso in Parliament is mightily ill-taken by all the Court party, as a mortal blow, and that that strikes deep into the King's prerogative, which troubles me mightily. Home and set some papers right in my chamber, and then to supper and to bed, we being in much fear of ill news of our colliers, a fleet of 200 sail, and 14 Dutch men of war between them and us, and they coming home with small convoy, and the city in great want, coals being at £3 3 shillings per children, as I'm told. I saw smoke in the ruins this very day. the 9th of December. Lord's Day. Up not to church, but to my chamber, and there begun to enter into this book my journal of September, which in the fire time I could not enter here but in loose papers. At noon, dined, and then to my chamber all the afternoon and night, looking over and tearing and burning all the unnecessary letters which I have had upon my file for 4 or 5 years backward, which I intend to do quite through all my papers, that I may have nothing by me but what is worth keeping, and fit to be seen if I should miscarry. At this work till midnight, and then to supper and to bed. The 10th of December. Up and at my office all the morning, and several people with me. Sir William Warren, who I do every day more and more admire for a miracle of cunning and forecast in his business, and then Captain Cock, with whom I walked in the garden. And he tells me how angry the court is at the late proviso brought in by the House, how still my Lord Chancellor is, not daring to do or say anything, to displease the Parliament. That the Parliament is in a very ill humour and grows every day more and more so, and that the unskilfulness of the court and their difference among one another is the occasion of all not agreeing in what they would have, and so give leisure and occasion to the other part to run away with what the court would not have. Then comes Mr. Gordon, and he and I in my chamber discoursing about his business, and to pay him some Tangier orders, which he delayed to receive till I have money instead of tallies, but doth promise me consideration for my victualling business for this year, and also as treasurer for Tangier, which I am glad of, but would have been gladder to have just now received it. He gone, I alone to dinner at home, my wife and her people being gone down the river today for pleasure, though a cold day, and dark night to come up. In the afternoon, I to the excise office to enter my tallies, which I did, and came presently back again, and then to the office and did much business, and then home to supper, my wife and people being come well and hungry home from Erith. Then I to begin the setting of a base to It Is Decreed, and so to bed. The 11th of December. Up and to the office, where we sat, and at noon home to dinner, a small dinner because of a good supper. After dinner my wife and I by coach to St. Clement's Church, to Mistress Turner's lodgings hard by, to take our leaves of her. She is returning into the north to her child, where I perceive her husband hath clearly got the mastery of her, and she is likely to spend her days there, which for her sake I am a little sorry for, though for his it is but fit she should live where he hath a mind. Here were several people come to see and take leave of her, she going tomorrow, among others my Lady Mordaunt, which was Betty Turner, a most homely widow, but young and pretty rich and good-natured. Thence, having promised to write every month to her, we home, and I to my office, while my wife to get things together for supper. Dispatched my business at the office, anon comes our guests, old Mr. Battalier and his son and daughter, Mercer, which was all our company. We had a good venison pasty and other good cheer, and as merry as in so good innocent and understanding company I could be. He is much troubled that wines laden by him in France before the late proclamation was out cannot now be brought into England, which is much to his and other merchants' loss. We sat long at supper and then to talk, and so late parted, and so to bed. This day the poll bill was to be passed, and great endeavours used to take away the proviso. The 12th of December. Up and to the office, where some accounts of Mr. Gordon's were examined, but I home most of the morning to even some accounts with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley, Mr. Moon, and others, one after another. Sir Hugh Cholmondeley did, with grief, tell me how the Parliament hath been told plainly that the King hath been heard to say that he would dissolve them rather than pass this bill with the proviso, but tells me that the proviso is removed, and now carried that it shall be done by a bill by itself. He tells me how the King hath lately paid above £30,000 to clear debts of my Lady Castlemaine's, and that she and her husband are parted for ever, upon good terms, never to trouble one another more. He says that he hears that above £400,000 hath gone into the privy purse since this war, and that that hath consumed so much of our money and makes the king and court so mad to be brought to discover it. He gone, and after him the rest, I to the office, and at noon to the change, where the very good news is just come of our 4 ships from Smyrna, come safe without convoy even into the Downs, without seeing any enemy, which is the best and indeed only considerable good news to our exchange since the burning of the city. And it is strange to see how it doth cheer up men's hearts. Here I saw shops now come to be in this exchange, and met little Batelier, who sits here but at £3 per annum, whereas he sat at the other at £100, which he says he believes will prove of as good account to him now as the other did at that rent. From the change to Captain Cox, and there by agreement dined. And there was Charles Porter, Temple, Fenn, Debussy, whose bad English and pleasant discourses was exceeding good entertainment, Matthew Wren, Major Cooper, and myself. Mighty merry and pretty discourse. They talked for certain that now the king doth follow Mistress Stuart wholly, and my Lady Castlemaine not above once a week, that the Duke of York doth not haunt my Lady Denham so much, but she troubles him with matters of state, being of my Lord Bristol's faction, and that he avoids, that she is ill still. After dinner I away to the office, where we sat late upon Mr. Gordon's accounts, Sir John Minnis being gone home sick. I late at the office, and then home to supper and to bed, being mightily troubled with a pain in the small of my back, through cold, or, which I think most true, by straining last night to get open my plate chest. In such pain all night I could not turn myself in my bed. News this day from Brampton of Mr. Ensom, my sister's sweetheart, being dead. A clown. The 13th of December. Up and to the office where we sat, at noon to the change, and there met Captain Cock, and had a second time his direction to bespeak £100 of plate, which I did at Sir Robert Viner's, being 12 plates more, and something else I have to choose. Thence home to dinner, and there Will Hewer dined with me, and showed me a Gazette in April last, which I wonder should never be remembered by anybody, which tells how several persons were then tried for their lives, and were found guilty of a design of killing the king and destroying the government, and, as a means to it, to burn the city, and that the day intended for the plot was the 3rd of last September, and that fire did indeed break out on the 2nd of September, which is very strange, methinks, and I shall remember it. At the office all the afternoon, late, and then home to even my accounts in my Tangier book, which I did to great content in all respects, and joy to my heart. And so to bed. This afternoon Sir William Warren and Mr. Moore, one after another, walked with me in the garden, and they both tell me that my Lord Sandwich is called home, and that he doth grow more and more in esteem everywhere, and is better spoken of, which I am mighty glad, though I know well enough his deserving the same before, and did foresee that it will come to it. In mighty great pain in my back still, but I perceive it changes its place, and doth not trouble me at all in making of water, and that is my joy, so that I believe it is nothing but a strain. And for these 3 or 4 days I perceive my overworking of my eyes by candlelight doth hurt them, as it did the last winter, that by day I am well and do get them right, but then after candlelight they begin to be sore and run, so that I intend to get some green spectacles. The 14th of December. Up and very well again of my pain in my back, it having been nothing but cold. By coach to Whitehall, seeing many smokes of the fire by the way yet, and took up into the coach with me a country gentleman, who asked me room to go with me, it being dirty. One come out of the north to see his son after the burning his house, a merchant. Here endeavoured to wait on the Duke of York, but he would not stay from the Parliament, so I to Westminster Hall, and there met my good friend Mr. Evelyn, and walked with him a good while, lamenting our condition for want of good counsel and the king's minding of his business and servants. I out to the Bell Tavern, and thither comes Doll to me, and yo did tocar la cosa of her as I pleased. And after an hour's stay, away, and stayed in Westminster Hall till the rising of the house, having told Mr. Evelyn, and he several others, of my Gazette which I had about me, that mentioned in April last a plot for which several were condemned of treason at the Old Bailey for many things, and among others for a design of burning the city on the 3rd of September. The House sat till 3 o'clock, and then up, and I home with Sir Stephen Fox to his house to dinner, and the cofferer with us. There I find his lady, a fine woman, and 7 the prettiest children of theirs that ever I knew, almost. A very gent dinner, and in great state and fashion, and excellent discourse, and nothing like an old experienced man and a courtier, and such is the cofferer Ashburnham. The House have been mighty hot today against the paper bill, showing all manner of averseness to give the king money, which these courtiers do take mighty notice of, and look upon the others as bad rebels as ever the last were. But the courtiers did carry it against those men upon a division of the House, a great many that it should be committed, and so it was, which they reckon good news. After dinner we 3 to the excise office, and there had long discourse about our monies, but nothing to satisfaction, that is, to show any way of shortening the time which our tallies take up before they become payable, which is now full 2 years, which is 20% of all the king's money for interest, and the great disservice of his majesty otherwise. Thence in the evening round by coach home, where I find Founses his present of a fair pair of candlesticks, and 6 of plates come, which costs him full £50, and is a very good present. And here I met with, sealed up from Sir Hugh Cholmondeley, the lampoon or the mock advice to a painter, abusing the Duke of York and my Lord Sandwich, Penn, and everybody, and the King himself, in all the matters of the navy and war. I'm sorry for my Lord Sandwich having so great a part in it. Then to supper and music and to bed. The 15th of December. Up and to the office where my Lord Brunker, newly come to town from his being at Chatham and Harwich, to spy enormities. And at noon, I with him and his Lady Williams to Captain Cox, where a good dinner and very merry. Good news today upon the exchange, that our Hamburg fleet is got home, and good hopes that we may soon have the like of our Gothenburg, and then we shall be well for this winter. Very merry at dinner, and by comes in Matthew Wren from the Parliament House, and tells us that he and all his party of the House, which is the court party, are fools, and have been made so this day by the wise men of the other side. For after the court party had carried it yesterday so powerfully for the paper bill, yet now it is laid aside wholly, and to be supplied by a land tax, which, it is true, will do well and will be the sooner finished, which was the great argument for the doing of it. But then it shows them fools that they would not permit this to have been done 6 weeks ago, which they might have had. And next they have parted with the paper bill, which, when once begun, might have proved a very good flower in the crown as any there. So doth really say that they are truly outwitted by the other side. Thence away to Sir Robert Viner's, and there chose some plate, besides 12 plates, which I purpose to have, with Captain Cox's gift of £100. And so home, and there busy late, and then home and to bed. The 16th of December, Lord's Day. Lay long talking with my wife in bed, then up with great content and to my chamber to set right a picture or two. Lovett having sent me yesterday Santa Clara's head varnished, which is very fine. And now my closet is so full stored and so fine as I would never desire to have it better. Dined without any strangers with me, which I do not like on Sundays. Then, after dinner, by water to Westminster to see Mistress Martin, whom I found up in her chamber and ready to go abroad. I sat there with her and her husband and others a pretty while, and then away to Whitehall, and then walked up and down to the Queen's side, and there saw my dear Lady Castlemaine, who continues admirable, methinks, and I do not hear but that the King is the same to her still as ever. Anon to chapel by the King's closet, and heard a very good anthem. Then with Lord Brunker to Sir William Coventry's chamber, and there we sat with him and talked. He is weary of anything to do, he says, in the navy. He tells us this committee of accounts will inquire sharply into our office, and speaking of Sir John Minnis, he says he will not bear anybody's faults but his own. He discoursed as bad of Sir William Batten almost, and cries out upon the discipline of the fleet, which is lost, and that there is not, in any of the fourth rates and under, scarce left one sea commander but all young gentlemen, and, which troubles him, he hears that the gentlemen do give out that in 2 or 3 years a tarpaulin shall not dare to look after being better than a boatswain, which he is troubled at, and with good reason. And at this day Sir Robert Holmes is mightily troubled that his brother doth not command in chief, but is commanded by Captain Hannam, who, Sir William Coventry says he believes to be at least of as good blood, is a longer-bred seaman, an elder officer, and an elder commander. But such is Sir Robert Holmes's pride as never to be stopped, he being greatly troubled at my Lord Brunker's late discharging all his men and officers, but the standing officers at Chatham. And so are all other commanders, and a very great cry hath been to the king from them all in my lord's absence. But Sir William Coventry doth undertake to defend it, and my Lord Brunker got ground by it, I believe, who is angry at Sir William Batten and William Penn's bad words concerning it. And I have made it worse by telling him that they refused to sign to a paper which he and I signed on Saturday to declare the reason of his actions, which Sir William Coventry likes, and would have it sent him, and he will sign it, which pleases me well. So we parted, and I with Lord Brunker to Sir Philip Neale's chamber, and there sat and talked a while, Sir Edward Walker being there, and telling us how he hath lost many fine rolls of antiquity in heraldry by the late fire, but hath saved the most of his papers. Here was also Dr. Wallace, the famous scholar and mathematician, but he promises little. Left them, and in the dark and cold home by water, and so to supper, and to read, and so to bed, my eyes being better today, and I cannot impute it to anything but my being much in the dark tonight, for I plainly find that it is only excess of light that makes my eyes sore. This afternoon I walked with Lord Brunker into the park, and there talked of the times, and he doth think that the king sees that he cannot never have much more money, or good, from this Parliament, and that therefore he may hereafter dissolve them. That as soon as he hath the money settled, he believes a peace will be clapped up, and that there are overtures of a peace, which, if such as the Lord Chancellor can excuse, he will take. For it is the Chancellor's interest, he says, to bring peace again, for in peace he can do all and command all, but in war he cannot, because he understands not the nature of the war, as to the management thereof. He tells me he doth not believe that the Duke of York will go to sea again, though there are great many about the king that would be glad of any occasion to take him out of the world, he standing in their ways, and seemed to mean the Duke of Monmouth, who spends his time the most viciously and idly of any man, nor will be fit for anything. Yet he speaks as if it were not impossible but the king would own him for his son, and that there was a marriage between his mother and him, which God forbid should be, if it be not true. Nor will the Duke of York easily be gulled in it. But this, put to our other distractions, makes things appear very sad and likely to be the occasion of much confusion in a little time. And my Lord Brunker seems to say that nothing can help us but the king's making a peace so soon as he hath this money, and thereby putting himself out of debt, and so becoming a good husband. And then he will neither need this nor any other Parliament till he can have one to his mind. For no Parliament can, as he says, be kept long good, but they will spoil one another, and that therefore it hath been the practice of kings to tell Parliaments what he hath for them to do, and give them so long time to do it in, and no longer. Harry Kem, one of our messengers, is lately dead. The 17th of December. Up and several people to speak with me. Then comes Mr. Caesar, and then good groom, and what with one and the other, nothing but music with me this morning to my great content, and the more to see that God Almighty hath put me into condition to bear the charge of all this. So out to the change I, and did a little business, and then home, where they, two musicians and Mr. Cook, came to see me, and Mercer, to go along with my wife this afternoon to a play. To dinner, and then our company all broke up, and I to my chamber to do several things, among other things to write a letter to my Lord Sandwich, it being one of the burdens upon my mind that I have not writ to him since he went into Spain. But now I do intend to give him a brief account of our whole year's action since he went, which will make amends. My wife well home in the evening from the play, which I was glad of, it being cold and dark, and she having a necklace of pearl on, and none but Mercer with her. Spent the evening in fitting my books, to have the number set upon each in order to my having an alphabet of my whole, which will be of great ease to me. This day Captain Batters came from sea in his fireship, and came to see me, poor man, as his patron, and a poor, painful wretch he is as can be. After supper, to bed. The 18th of December. Up and to the office, where I hear the ill news that poor Batters, that hath been born and bred a seaman, and brought up his ship from sea but yesterday, was, going down from me to his ship, drowned in the Thames. Which is a sad fortune, and doth make me afeard, and will do more than ever I was. At noon dined at home, and then by coach to my Lord Bellis's, but not at home, so to Westminster Hall, where the Lords are sitting still. I to see Mistress Martin, who is very well, and intends to go abroad tomorrow after her childbed. She doth tell me that this child did come la même jour that it ought to affaire after my avoir été con elle before her marido did venir home. And she would now have done anything cum ego, and did endeavour, but su causa stava mala, which did empascar. Thence to the Swan, and there I sent for Sarah, and mighty merry we were, but contra my will, were very far from hacer algo. So to Sir Robert Viner's about my plate, and carried home another dozen of plates, which makes my stock of plates up 2½ dozen, and at home find Mr. Thomas Andrews, with whom I stayed and talked a little, and invited him to dine with me at Christmas, and then I to the office, and there late doing business, and so home and to bed. Sorry for poor Batters. The 19th of December. Up and by water to Whitehall, and there with the Duke of York did our usual business, but nothing but complaints of want of money, without success, and Sir William Coventry's complaint of the defects of our office, indeed Sir John Minnis's, without any amendment. And he tells us so plainly of the committee of Parliament's resolution to inquire home into all our managements, that it makes me resolve to be wary and to do all things betimes to be ready for them. Thence, going away, met Mr. Hingston, the organist, my old acquaintance, in the court, and I took him to the Dog Tavern, and got him to set me a bass to my It Is Decreed, which I think will go well, but he commends the song, not knowing the words, but says the air is good, and believes the words are plainly expressed. He is of my mind against having of eighths unnecessarily in composition. This did all please me mightily. Then to talk of the King's family, he says many of the music are ready to starve, they being 5 years behindhand for their wages. Nay, Evans, the famous man upon the harp, having not his equal in the world, did the other day die for mere want, and was fain to be buried at the arms of the parish, and carried to his grave in the dark at night without one link, but that Mr. Hingston met it by chance, and did give 12 pence to buy 2 or 3 links. He says all must come to ruin at this rate, and I believe him. Thence I up to the Lord's house to inquire for Lord Bellis's, and there hear how at a conference this morning between the two houses, about the business of the Canary Company, my Lord Buckingham leaning rudely over my Lord Marquis of Dorchester, my Lord Dorchester removed his elbow. Duke of Buckingham asked whether he was uneasy. Dorchester replied, yes, and that he durst not do this were he anywhere else. Buckingham replied yes he would, and that he was a better man than himself. Dorchester answered that he lied. With this, Buckingham struck off his hat, and took him by his periwig, and pulled it at t'other side, and held him. My Lord Chamberlain and others interposed, and upon coming into the house, the Lords did order them both to the Tower, whither they are to go this afternoon. I down into the hall, and there the lieutenant of the tower took me with him, and would have me to the tower to dinner, where I dined, at the head of his table next his lady, who is comely, and seeming sober and stately, but very proud and very cunning, or I am mistaken, and wanton too. This day's work will bring the lieutenant of the tower £350. But a strange, conceited, vain man he is, that ever I met withal, in his own praise, as I have heretofore observed of him. Thence home and upon Tower Hill saw about 300 or 400 seamen get together, and one, standing upon a pile of bricks, made his sign with his handkerchief upon his stick, and called all the rest to him, and several shouts they gave. This made me afeard, so I got home as fast as I could, and hearing of no present hurt, did go to Sir Robert Viner's about my plate again. And coming home, do hear of 1,000 seamen said in the streets to be in arms. So in great fear home, expecting to find a tumult about our house, and was doubtful of my riches there. But I thank God I found all well. But by and by Sir William Batten and Sir Richard Ford do tell me that the seamen have been at some prisons to release some seamen, and that the Duke of Albemarle is in arms, and all the guards at the other end of the town, and the Duke of Albemarle is gone with some forces to Wapping to quell the seamen, which is a thing of infinite disgrace to us. I sat long talking with them, and among other things Sir Richard Ford did make me understand how the House of Commons is a beast not to be understood, it being impossible to know beforehand the success almost of any small plain thing, there being so many to think and speak to any business, and they of so uncertain minds and interests and passions. He did tell me, and so did Sir William Batten, how Sir Alan Broderick and Sir Alan Apsley did come drunk the other day into the house, and did both speak for 30 minutes together, and could not be either laughed or pulled or bid to sit down and hold their peace, to the great contempt of the king's servants and cause, which I am aggrieved at with all my heart. We were full in discourse of the sad state of our times, and the horrid shame brought on the king's service by the just clamours of the poor seamen, and that we must be undone in a little time. Home full of trouble on these considerations, and among other things I to my chamber, and there to ticket a good part of my books, in order to the numbering of them for my easy finding them to read, as I have occasion. So to supper and to bed, with my heart full of trouble. The 20th of December. Up into the office where we sat all the morning, and here, among other things, came Captain Cock, and I did get him to sign me a note for £100 to pay for the plate he doth present me with, which I am very glad of. At noon, home to dinner, where was Balty come, who is well again, and the most recovered in his countenance that ever I did see. Here dined with me also Mistress Batters, poor woman, now left a sad widow by the drowning of her husband the other day. I pity her, and will do her what kindness I can, yet I observe something of ill nature in myself more than should be, that I am colder towards her in my charity than I should be to one so painful as he and she have been, and full of kindness to their power, to my wife and I. After dinner, out with Balty, setting him down at the Maypole in the Strand, and then I to my Lord Bellis's, and there spoke with Mr. Moon about some business, and so away to my business at the office, and then home to supper and to bed, after having finished the putting of little papers upon my books, to be numbered hereafter. The 21st of December. Lay long, and when up, find Mistress Clark of Greenwich, and her daughter Daniel. Their business, among other things, was a request her daughter was to make, so I took her into my chamber, and there it was to help her husband to the command of a little new pleasure-boat building, which I promised to assist in. And here I had opportunity para besar el, and tocar su mamel, so as to make mi mismo espender with great pleasure. Then to the office, and there did a little business, and then to the change, and did the like. So home to dinner, and spent all the afternoon in putting some things, pictures especially, in order, and pasting my Lady Castlemaine's print on a frame, which I have made handsome, and is a fine piece. So to the office in the evening to marshal my papers of accounts presented to the Parliament, against any future occasion to recur to them, which I did do to my great content. So home, and did some Tangier work, and so to bed. The 22nd of December. At the office all the morning, and there came news from Hogg, that our ship hath brought in a Lubecker to Portsmouth, likely to prove prize, of deals, which joys us. At noon, home to dinner, and then Sir William Penn, Sir Richard Ford, and I met at Sir William Batten to examine our papers, and have great hopes to prove her prize. And Sir Richard Ford I find a mighty yeoman in this business, making exceeding good observations from the papers on our behalf. Hereupon concluded what to write to Hogg and Middleton, which I did, and also with Mr. Oviatt, Sir Richard Ford's son, who is to be our solicitor, to fee some counsel in the Admiralty, but none in town. So, home again, and after writing letters by the post, I, with all my clerks and Carcass and Whitfield, to the ticket office, there to be informed in the method and disorder of that office, which I find infinite great, of infinite concernment to be mended, and did spend till 12 at night to my great satisfaction, it being a point of our office I was wholly unacquainted in. So with great content home and to bed. The 23rd of December, Lord's Day. Up and alone to church, and meeting Nan Wright at the gate, had opportunity to take two or three besados. And so to church, where a vain fellow with a periwig preached, chaplain, as by his prayer appeared, to the Earl of Carlisle. Home, and there dined with us Betty Mitchell and her husband, after dinner I to Whitehall by coach, and took them with me, and in the way I would have taken Sumano, as I did the last time, but she did in a manner withhold it. So set them down at Whitehall, and I to the chapel to find Dr. Gibbons, and from him to the harp and ball to transcribe the treble which I would have him to set a bass to. But this took me so much time, and it growing night, I was fearful of missing a coach, and therefore took a coach, and to Wright's to call Mitchell and his wife at their father Howlett's. And so home, it being cold, and the ground all snow, but the moon shining. In the way I did prender su mano with some little violence, and so in every motion she seemed para hacer contra su will, but yet did hacer whatever I would. I did by degrees poner mi cosa in su mano nudo, and it averla, tenerla, e fregarle, e tocar mi thigh, and so all the way home, and there did doner ella su gant para put on encore, she making many little endeavours para ote su mano, but yielded still. We came home, and there she did seem a little ill, but I did take several opportunities afterward para besarla, and so good night. They gone, I to my chamber, and with my brother and wife did number all my books in my closet, and took a list of their names, which pleases me mightily, and is a job I wanted much to have done. Then to supper and to bed. The 24th of December. Up into the office where Lord Brunker, John Minnis, William Penn, and myself met, and there I did use my notes I took on Saturday night about tickets, and did come to a good settlement in that business of that office, if it be kept to, this morning being a meeting on purpose. At noon, to prevent my Lord Brunker's dining here, I walked as if upon business with him, it being frost and dry, as far as Paul's, and so back again through the city by Guildhall, observing the ruins thereabouts, till I did truly lose myself, and so home to dinner. I do truly find that I've overwrought my eyes, so that now they are become weak and apt to be tired, and all excess of light makes them sore, so that now, to the candlelight I'm forced to sit by, adding the snow upon the ground all day, my eyes are very bad, and will be worse if not helped. So my Lord Brunker doth advise me, as a certain cure, to use green spectacles, which I will do. So to dinner, where Mercer with us, and very merry. After dinner she goes and fetches a little son of Mr. Buckworth's, the whitest haired and of the most spirit that ever I saw in my life, for discourse of all kind, and so ready and to the purpose not above 4 year old. Thence to Sir Robert Viner's, and there paid for the plate I've bought, to the value of £94, with the £100 Captain Cock did give me to that purpose, and received the rest in money. I this evening did buy me a pair of green spectacles, to see whether they will help my eyes or no. So to the change, and went to the upper change, which is almost as good as the old one, only shops are but on one side. Then home to the office, and did business till my eyes begun to be bad, and so home to supper, my people busy making mince pies, and so to bed. No news yet of our Gothenburg fleet, which makes me have some fears, it being of mighty concernment to have our supply of masts safe. I met with Mr. Cade tonight, my stationer, and he tells me that he hears for certain that the Queen Mother is about and hath near finished a peace with France, which, as a Presbyterian, he doth not like, but seems to fear it will be a means to introduce popery. The 25th of December. Christmas Day. Lay pretty long in bed, and then rise, leaving my wife desirous to sleep, having sat up till 4 this morning, seeing her maids make mince pies. I to church, where our Parson Mills made a good sermon, then home, and dined well on some good ribs of beef roasted, and mince pies, only my wife, brother, and Barker, and plenty of good wine of my own, and my heart full of true joy, and thanks to God Almighty for the goodness of my condition at this day. After dinner I began to teach my wife and Barker my song, It Is Decreed, which pleases me mightily, as now I have Mr. Hingston's bass. Then out and walked alone on foot to Temple, it being a fine frost, thinking to have seen a play all alone, but there missing of any bills, concluded there was none, and so back home, and there with my brother reducing the names of all my books to an alphabet, which kept us till 7 or 8 at night, and then to supper, Will Hewer with us, and pretty merry. And then to my chamber to enter this day's journal only, and then to bed, my head a little thoughtful how to behave myself in the business of the victualling, which I think will be prudence to offer my service in doing something in passing the purser's accounts, thereby to serve the king, get honour to myself, and confirm me in my place in the victualling, which at present hath not work enough to deserve my wages. The 26th of December. Up and walked all the way, it being a most fine frost, to Whitehall to Sir William Coventry's chamber, and thence with him up to the Duke of York, where, among other things, at our meeting, I did offer my assistance to Sir John Minnis to do the business of his office relating to the purser's accounts, which was well accepted by the Duke of York, and I think I have and shall do myself good in it, if it be taken, for it will confirm me in the business of my victualling office, which I do now very little for. Thence home, carrying home a barrel of oysters with me. Anon comes Mr. John Andrews and his wife by invitation from Bow to dine with me, and young Batelier and his wife, with her great belly which hath spoiled her looks mightily already. Here was also Mercer and Creed, whom I met coming home, who tells me of a most bitter lampoon now out against the court, and the management of state from head to foot, mighty witty and mighty severe. By and by to dinner, a very good one, and merry. After dinner I put the women into coach, and they to the Duke's house to a play which was acted. It was indifferently done, but was not pleased with the song, Gosnell not singing it, but a new wench that sings naughtily. Thence home, all by coach, and there Mr. Andrews to the viol, who plays most excellently on it, which I did not know before. Then to dance, he being Pendleton sent by my wife's direction, and a fiddler, and we got also the elder Batelier tonight, and Nan Wright, and mighty merry we were, and I danced, and so till 12 at night, and to supper, and then to cross purposes, mighty merry, and then to bed, my eyes being sore. Creed lay here in Barker's bed. The 27th of December. Up and called up by the king's trumpets, which cost me 10 shillings. So to the office, where we sat all the morning, At noon, by invitation, my wife, who had not been there these 10 months, I think, and I, to meet all our families at Sir William Batten's at dinner, where neither a great dinner for so much company, nor anything good or handsome. In middle of dinner I rose, and my wife, and by coach to the King's Playhouse, and meeting Creed, took him up, and there saw The Scornful Lady, well acted, Doll Common doing Abigail most excellently, and Nip, the widow, very well, and will be an excellent actor, I think. In other parts, the play not so well done as used to be by the old actors. Anon to Whitehall by coach, thinking to have seen a play there tonight, but found it a mistake, so back again and missed our coach, who was gone, thinking to come time enough 3 hours hence, and we could not blame him. So forced to get another coach, and all three home to my house, and there to Sir William Batten's, and ate a bit of cold chine of beef, and then stayed and talked, and then home, and sat and talked a little by the fire's side with wife and Creed, and so to bed, my left eye being very sore. No business, public nor private, minded all these 2 days. This day a house or two was blown up with powder in the Minories, and several people spoiled, and many dug out from under the rubbish. The 28th of December. Up, and Creed and I walked a very fine walk in the frost to my Lord Bellis's, but missing him did find him at Whitehall, and there spoke with him about some Tangier business. That done, we to Creed's lodgings, which are very pretty, but he is going from them. So we to Lincoln's Inn Fields, he to Ned Pickering's, who it seems lives there keeping a good house, and I to my Lord Crewe's, where I dined and hear the news how my Lord's brother, Mr. Nathaniel Crewe, hath an estate of 600 or 700 pounds per annum left him by the death of an old acquaintance of his, but not akin to him at all. And this man is dead without will, but had, above 10 years since, made over his estate to this Mr. Crewe, to him and his heirs for ever, and given Mr. Crewe the keeping of the deeds in his own hand all this time, by which, if he would, he might have taken present possession of the estate, for he knew what they were. This is as great an act of confident friendship as this latter age, I believe, can show. From hence to the Duke's house, and there saw Macbeth most excellently acted, and a most excellent play for variety. I had sent for my wife to meet me there, who did come, and after the play done, I out so soon to meet her at the other door, that I left my cloak in the playhouse. And while I returned to get it, she was gone out and missed me, and with Will Hewer away home. I, not sorry for it much, did go to Whitehall and got my Lord Bellis's to get me into the playhouse, and there, after all staying above an hour for the players, the King and all waiting, which was absurd, saw Henry the Fifth, well done by the Duke's people, and in most excellent habit, all new vests, being put on but this night. But I sat so high and far off, that I missed most of the words, and sat with a wind coming into my back and neck, which did much trouble me. The play continued till 12 at night, and then up, and a most horrid cold night it was, and frosty, and moonshine. But the worst is, I had left my cloak at Sir George Carteret's, and they being abed, I was forced to go home without it. So, by chance, got a coach, and to the Golden Lion Tavern in the Strand, and there drank some mulled sack, and so home, where find my poor wife staying for me, and then to bed, mighty cold. The 29th of December. Up, called up with news from Sir William Batten that Hogg hath brought in 2 prizes more, and so I thither and hear the particulars, which are good. One of them, if prize, being worth £4,000, for which God be thanked. Then to the office, and have the news brought us of Captain Robinson's coming with his fleet from Gothenburg, dispersed, though, by foul weather. But he hath light of 5 Dutch men of war, and taken 3, whereof 1 is sunk, which is very good news to close up the year with, and most of our merchantmen already heard of to be safely come home, though after long lookings for, and now to several ports as they could make them. At noon, home to dinner where Balti is, and now well recovered, then to the office to do business, and at night, it being very cold, home to my chamber and there late writing. but my left eye still very sore. I write by spectacles all this night. Then to supper and to bed. This day's good news making me very lively, only the arrears of much business upon my hands, and my accounts to be settled for the whole year past, do lie as a weight on my mind. The 30th of December. Lord's Day. Lay long. However, up and to church, where Mills made a good sermon, here was a collection for the sexton. But it came into my head why we should be more bold in making the collection while the psalm is singing than in the sermon or prayer. Home, and without any strangers to dinner, and then all the afternoon and evening in my chamber, preparing all my accounts in good condition against tomorrow, to state them for the whole year past, to which God give me a good issue when I come to close them. So to supper and to bed. The 31st of December. Rising this day with a full design to mind nothing else but to make up my accounts for the year past, I did take money and walk forth to several places in the town, as far as the New Exchange, to pay all my debts, it being still a very great frost and good walking. I stayed at the Fleece Tavern in Covent Garden while my boy Tom went to William Joyce's to pay what I owed for candles there. Thence to the New Exchange to clear my wife's score, and so, going back again, I met Doll Lane, Mistress Martin's sister, with another young woman of the hall, one Scott, and took them to the Half Moon Tavern, and there drank some burnt wine with them without more pleasure, and so away, home by coach, and there to dinner, and then to my accounts, wherein at last I find them clear and right. But to my great discontent, do find that my gettings this year have been £573 less than my last, it being this year in all but £2,986, whereas the last I got £3,560. And then again my spendings this year have exceeded my spendings the last, by £644, my whole spendings last year being but £509, whereas this year it appears I have spent £1,154, which is a sum not fit to be said that ever I should spend in one year, before I am master of a better estate than I am. Yet, blessed be God, and I pray God make me thankful for it, I do find myself worth in money, all good, above £6,200, which is above £1,800 more than I was the last year. This, I trust in God, will make me thankful for what I have, and careful to make up by care next year what by my negligence and prodigality I have lost and spent this year. The doing of this, and entering it fair with the sorting of all my expenses, to see how and in what points I have exceeded, did make it late work, till my eyes became very sore and ill, and then did give over, and supper, and to bed. Thus ends this year of public wonder and mischief to this nation, and therefore generally wished by all people to have an end. Myself and family well, having 4 maids and 1 clerk, Tom, in my house, and my brother now with me, to spend time in order to his preferment. Our healths all well, only my eyes, with overworking them, are sore as soon as candlelight comes to them, and not else. Public matters in a most sad condition, seamen discouraged for want of pay, and are become not to be governed. Nor, as matters are now, can any fleet go out next year. Our enemies, French and Dutch, great, and grow more by our poverty. The Parliament backward in raising, because jealous of the spending of the money. The city less and less likely to be built again, everybody settling elsewhere and nobody encouraged to trade. A sad, vicious, negligent court, and all sober men there fearful of the ruin of the whole kingdom this next year, from which, good God deliver us. One thing I reckon remarkable in my own condition is that I am come to abound in good plate, so as at all entertainments to be served wholly with silver plates, having 2 dozen and a half,